KFYO right now, 7:38 with Tom and Laura. Lubbock's First News. Good morning. Hope the day's going well for you, man. It's a little bit sticky. Looks like we're going to be getting the possibility. Well, there is a possibility of showers this afternoon. Mm-hmm. But, man, I thought, did you see that big cloud moving in from the south last night?
Well, it wasn't really moving in, was it?
I thought it was coming. It was just huge. But anyway, joining us on the line right now, Congressman Randy Neugebauer. Welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Laura.
How are you?
Hey, good. Pretty good. Where on the face of the planet are you this morning?
Well, I am in Washington, D.C., on the face of the planet this morning.
Okay, listen, we do the Buns Over Texas thing Saturdays at 4:30 with my mom, and some of the people from First Baptist Church would get together there, some of her friends, and we'd take vittles. But there's a gentleman.
It wouldn't be a Baptist meeting if there wasn't vittles.
Well, yeah, I hear you. There's a gentleman, Dr. Ed Burke. we were discussing the Veterans Administration crisis, and the first thing he said was, number one, and let me just throw a few things out there that, you know, really the VA shouldn't be, and this is a no-brainer, the VA shouldn't be investigating itself, number one. Number two, with all of the physicians, the medical doctors that occupy positions in Congress, his thought is that maybe they should form like a liaison committee so they could explain things to people that are making decisions in Congress on the vote rather than just having high-ranking members on committees because they're high-ranking. Number three, my wife had done a little bit of research while we were sitting there at the table, and there is the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations, which now is currently known as the TJC. It's a United States-based nonprofit tax-exempt 501 that accredits more than 20,000 healthcare organizations and programs in the United States. Are you aware of any of these of the TJC and their function?
You know, Tom, really not, because that, you know, doesn't fall under a committee of jurisdiction that I sit on, and so that would not be something that I'm familiar with. But I do know that there's a lot of different healthcare organizations out there, a lot of different groups, and you know, they regularly, you know, interface with people on Capitol Hill. But I'm not particularly familiar with that particular organization that you're talking about.
Okay, well, I've got your address, at your office. I'm going to forward that to Dr. Burke. But I will read you something from the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations website. It's a public notice. It says, the Joint Commission of Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations will conduct unannounced triennial accreditation surveys of the VA Medical Center, Augusta, Georgia. Additionally, a one-day unannounced survey could occur. So I'm going to get you, he's going to forward you this information and a proposal, but I just thought you might be interested in that.
Absolutely, and thanks for that. And, one of the things that you did mention is that we have, over the last few years, had a number of medical doctors become members of the United States Congress, and they are a valuable resource for members of Congress like myself that you don't have a medical background, and one of those is Dr. Burgess. From Texas, who I regularly, visit with about, healthcare issues. And really, he's been one of the leaders on an alternative to Obamacare. And so it is good to have those people that have that background to be a part of the United States Congress.
All right. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, Congressman. Again, we're going to get that address to Ed Burke, and Dr. Burke can forward that proposal to you. We'll be back in just a moment at 7:42. 7:47 with Tom and Laura. This is Lubbock's First News, joined by Congressman Randy Neugebauer. Welcome back to the program, sir. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Hey, thanks for dealing with our technical difficulty. Our telephones are not working properly. Hey, before we get to pose this next the next question about the disappearing emails of Lois Lerner, I did want to share an electronic message with you that contains a few expletives, of which I will not repeat. But one of our listeners has sent me an electronic message that says, what the, with the lost emails of Lois Lerner, this administration is spitting in the face of Congress and defecating on the people. And what do you say?
Good grief.
Well, yeah, you know, I think that's just the latest of, you know, a continuing saga on the IRS issue and Lois Lerner and, you know, the fact that the IRS is just now saying, by the way, some of the emails may be missing. You know, it calls for the fact that I think obviously continued investigation. One of the things that doesn't really smell right to me, Tom, is that the fact that almost all of these servers, whether it's IRS server and her emails would have been going through the government system. Generally, those systems are all backed up, and so even though somebody's laptop may have crashed or something like that, those emails are somewhere else. And you know, I'm sure.
Yeah, didn't we
really think so, right?
Yeah, didn't we just build like some, you know, mega gargantuan storage facility somewhere in Arizona or something like that?
Yeah, so I'm sure that the Chairman Kemp, I noticed that he came out the last week. He's not happy at all, and really has called on the Department of Justice to investigate that. Now, I'm not sure that's going to do any good because, you know, the Department of Justice doesn't investigate the things that they should, and they investigate things they shouldn't. So, but I just think that at some point in time those emails are going to surface, or there's some big cover-up going on here.
Well, it certainly is, you know, it certainly is convenient. Now, I was looking at some conjecture over the weekend, but there's a lady that's working on it. I don't know who she is, what her organization is, but she feels that Lois Lerner, being a government employee that is drawing this huge pension, should lose her pension and such if she didn't follow the procedures and do her job as she was supposed to. Now, then I got to thinking about this, and I'm saying, okay, look, you know, if you're in public service and you're in the United States military, if you're dishonorably discharged, you don't get your pension.
Yeah, you're right. And there's been, you know, there have been over the years, for example, legislative language that if, for example, if a sitting member of Congress is, convicted of, you know, certain kinds of malfeasance, that, you know, they could potentially lose their retirement. And I think, you know, one of the things about Lois Lerner was, you know, obviously she was not forthright when she testified before Congress, you know, plead the Fifth. But the other thing, Tom, is that Lois Lerner, she didn't do that on her own. And so
no.
I think one of the things
she ain't smart enough to do that.
Yeah, we need to get to the bottom of who initiated that to start targeting, you know, these conservative nonprofits, because somebody told Lois, you know, we need to get on this, and she was obviously someone that had enough power and responsibility to initiate that. But there's more to this story, and we need to continue to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I you know, I just want to go back, and I'm you know, if you look at Nixon, you know, when he got caught with a hand in the cookie jar, you know what he did? He just said, effective noon tomorrow, I'm resigning. I mean, he grew a pair. Come on. You know, if somebody's done something wrong, you know, there's a consequence for every action.
There is, Tom, and I think one of the things that concerns me is we all make mistakes and so forth, but one of the things that I've been very disappointed in this administration is that they really never own up when they mess up. And, you know, that I think that's kind of disingenuous on their part. You know, when you make a mistake, you say, hey, I made a mistake, we're going to fix it. But this administration is just not much for owning up. They always are trying to figure out a way to spin it. Take Benghazi, for example. I mean, so they're blaming it on a video a guy in Florida produced instead of, you know, saying, hey, we didn't secure that compound properly. We didn't do the things we needed to do to protect the people that were representing us.
Well,
since
the story has changed multiple times.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
It is what it is.
It is. And so I think you make a good point there.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute, 7:52. 7:57 with Tom and Laura in Lubbock's First News on Monday. On the phone with us, Congressman Randy Neugebauer. Randy, welcome back to the program. Let's go to Iraq. Man, this thing is a wreck.
Iraq is a wreck, Tom, and, you know, I'm very concerned about what's going on over there. I mean, one of the things that, you know, if you study the history of Iraq, it's a very secular country, and that secularism now is kind of bubbling up. You've got Sunnis and Shiites and Kurds, and they're all kind of trying to secure some real estate here, and it's going to be up to the Iraqi government to determine whether they can secure the peace that was fought so hard for by our young men and women. And, you know, I'm figuring here and what happens in the next few days or a few weeks here, you know, will kind of determine what kind of future Iraqi people have.
Well, I know we're sending about 100 Marines to the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad today. What do you think the next step may be?
Well, I think that's really, and that's a great question. I think that's really up to the Iraqi government. Now, over the weekend, I understand that the Iraqi prime minister said he didn't want the U.S. to intervene here. And he's calling on, you know, the citizens of that country and the soldiers to, you know, to rise up and help secure the peace here. And I guess we're going to have to see if he's able to do that. But I think one of the things we do need to do is make sure that our men and women that are over there, that we do, you know, do everything possible, Laura, to keep them safe.
You know, my concern is if we send 100 people over there, 100 Marines, you know, man, that's like, you know, it's like sending 3 firefighters into, you know, a 50,000-acre fire.
Well, that's just to protect the embassy.
Well, yeah, I get that. But 100 guns? Man, we better have some air support lined up and ready to, you know, kick some butt.
Well, my guess is we'll have some B-1s, you know, in the vicinity and, you know, prepared to do what's necessary to protect our soldiers. But certainly we need to protect those people in the embassy. We've seen what happens when you don't do that.
Yeah. Hey, Randy, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate you calling in.
You bet. Thank you. Y'all have a great week.
Have a good day. It's 7:59 coming up. We've got a benefit tennis tournament, actually an Eagle Scout project. It's called Rally for the Ranch. All you tennis types that swing the racket out at the country clubs, get ready.